Let's go on a journey. We tend to know where we're going. We kind of got the call, set things in plan and motion. We put things together, prepare for the journey, whatever it may be. If we're going for a long journey, we may put a lot of stuff in a suitcase, get everything ready, check the timetables, or make sure the car is working, or whatever it is, make sure we got good boots on our feet, and we head off knowing where we're going. Not so with the journeys of these three groups of people that we've looked at tonight. The journeys that they go on is they don't know the destination. They don't know the plan. They don't really know what to prepare for. They don't really know where they're going. I've often stopped and wondered, do you know, the Christmas story is a difficult story to believe, isn't it? The coming of Jesus Christ into our world is a very difficult story to believe. But you try being one of them. You try being in their shoes, their situation, their circumstance, where angels appear, where dreams come to them, where the sky fills up with light and angels sing to them and give them messages. And you may say, actually, it'd be easier if angels did turn up, because I would find it easier to believe. But actually, I think it must have been tough to think, what on earth is all this about? Well, we looked at these three different journeys. And I want to draw out just a few things as we kind of ponder the Christmas story and the journeys of what they go on. And the first thing I want to say is that each of these journeys are unique, weren't they? They were completely unique. They were unique people, real, true people living in history in a moment, just like you and I live, with their own personalities and characters. We kind of have fun a little bit with the wise men and the shepherds and maybe even with Joseph and Mary a little bit, wondering what would they really been like? And we can play a game a little bit with drama and scripts, but we don't really know who they were, but they were unique, real human beings. Mary and Joseph and Mary were just young. Mary probably very young. We know that Joseph was a very devout person, a very righteous person. He lived according to the law, but we also know that they were incredibly poor. But they were just the average Jewish man and woman looking forward to their great wedding day. The shepherds, Jewish people probably, but yet outsiders, seen probably as being irreligious, those who are on the edge of the religion, unintelligent people, and again, probably incredibly poor people. But then you have the wise men. Who were they? The Magi. These mystical figures that come and visit, that travel many, many miles, who seem to watch the stars and work out what's going on in the world through just looking at the stars and maybe some reading some ancient writings. Intelligent people, well-read people, wealthy people, but foreigners. Way outside of the Jewish nation and the Jewish family, Gentiles, probably from Babylonia, coming and being part of the story. These unique, different people. And as we think about these unique, different people who go on their unique journeys, each and every one of us is unique. Each and every one of us, God comes and calls us to follow him. To come and find that he has entered into our world. And I guess we could tell many, many, many millions of different stories of people that have done that. So we're all unique. And therefore your journey is unique to the foot of Jesus, the one who came to be with us. But another thing that I noticed from these stories is that each of these people, these groups of people, Joseph and Mary, the shepherds and the magi, the wise men, they all make a choice to journey. I don't know whether you get a call at Christmas time and someone invites you to Christmas Day celebrations and whether you sort of go, oh no, it's Granny or it's Aunt Olive or whoever it might be. You think, oh no, they always burn the turkey and they never have the right red wine or whatever it might be. I don't know what goes through your minds. Or do you actually think, great, I don't have to cook for Christmas. We can go and visit them. But you have to make a choice to go on a journey, don't you? You can talk about going on a journey. You can prepare to go on a journey, but you don't go on a journey until you step out of the door and start to go on the journey. And when you read these accounts, it's very clear that each of these decide to journey to the baby boy, Jesus. They don't know their destination yet, but they choose to go anyway. Joseph chooses to take Mary to be his wife. Oh yes, he had his moment. He's had his moment when he was going to divorce her, but then as the angel speaks to him, he has faith in his life, and he steps out and chooses her and the journey that God will take them on to become the father of the illegitimate child. Imagine doing that today. Wouldn't be easy. A bit easier today than then. Back then, incredibly difficult. This family was always ostracized, always known as the one, the family who had the illegitimate one. But Joseph chose to follow, to journey, to go. The shepherds received their, you know, their heavenly show, whatever it was like. Well, don't you want to be there? Wouldn't you love to have been there just to hear the angels? Maybe one day we will hear the angels sing. And the light, I mean, of course, they were filled with fear. They received the message, but they could have stayed on the hillside. They had a lot to lose, didn't they? Just think about it for a minute. Their livelihood was their sheep. And it took a great deal for a shepherd to leave his sheep. Not just because he cared for his sheep, although good shepherds would have cared for their sheep, but because it was his livelihood. If he left his sheep and gone down to see some newborn baby in Bethlehem, he would come back a few hours later to find he had no livelihood. And everyone would just laugh at him, and he would be poorer than he was before. So why would a shepherd go? There are good things to weigh up here, to balance. And yet these shepherds, something within these shepherds, deep inside them, they found a little seed of faith that enabled them to step forward and actually rush down to Bethlehem to see the child. It's the Magi that get me the most, though. Do you know, if I was the Magi and I studied the stars and then a star appeared that I hadn't kind of logged before, I think my conclusion would be that my eyesight was becoming a bit poor. Don't you think? Yeah, we hadn't seen that one before. Are we sure we missed it? We must have missed it. I mean, you look at the stars. I mean, they keep moving anyway, don't they? So it's easy to miss a star. And yet there was something about this star and something about the Magi. And I find this step of faith incredible, that they see the star and they don't know. They don't understand. Maybe they've got some understanding of Daniel's prophecy. Maybe even heard of something about Isaiah and Micah. Maybe they had that inkling. But goodness me, it must have been at the back of their heads, not at the front of their heads. They weren't expecting a child to be born. They weren't looking for that. The Jews were looking for that, but they weren't. They were foreigners. They were getting on with their studies, whatever they studied. And yet something about that star niggled at them to the point that they chose to find out what it all meant. That's amazing, isn't it? That they would step out onto that journey. And there's not much we can say about it other than, of course, it cost them a great deal of time and a great deal of money to travel the many hundreds of miles of which they did to see the child. But they chose. They chose to walk that way. And for each and every one of us, if we are to come to the place where we discover that Jesus entered into our world to become human, just like us, you have to choose to go. No one can choose that for you. You have to choose that journey to go and kneel and worship before Jesus. There's one last thing I want to say before we pray and close our service together. And this may apply to most of the people here. For most of us, we have journeyed and we have knelt before Jesus. And we have given our lives to Jesus, and we've worshipped him, and we've wondered, and each Christmas time we revisit this story, and we wonder again at the beauty, the wonder, the awe of it all, that Jesus would enter our world, that God would come in bones, flesh, and blood for you and me. And we have been there many times, kneeling before him. These three groups of people gather around the child. We don't think the Magi actually went to the manger. We think they probably saw Jesus when he was about 18 months old. But they gathered around the child in awe and wonder. But their journeys did not end there. It wasn't the final destination for them. And nor is it the final destination for us, that we would just kneel before the baby boy, God in our presence, incarnate amongst us. Because when you kneel before the baby boy, the journey is just beginning. It's just starting. It's not that Christians call you to just kneel before the manger of Jesus. We call you to meet Jesus and then live your life for him. And that's what we discover. Joseph and Mary, it did not end at Bethlehem in the manger, in the stable. It went to Egypt, where Joseph receives the dream from God, who tells him one night to get up and to go. Take the child and Mary, your wife, and go to Egypt because Herod is trying to kill him. That's the message he gets. And it's quite clear in Scripture, as far as I can read, is that that very night Joseph woke up. I love Joseph. You know, he gets a dream from God who tells him to marry Mary, and he goes and he does what the dream says, what God says in the dream. He gets a dream from God to take Mary and Jesus to Egypt. And that night, he doesn't wait. He doesn't wait for the morning. He gets up. He gets his cloak. He gathers Mary. He gets Jesus, and he makes his way to Egypt. And the journey of their life begins. And you need to go to the Gospels to read it all, because I can't tell you the whole story. But the journey of their life together begins. It is with the shepherds, too. As they go down to Bethlehem, they rush down to Bethlehem, but it doesn't end there for the shepherds. Because Scripture records for us that as they see the child, they're so amazed that they leave with joy in their hearts, singing songs of praise and telling everyone they met about what they had seen. One of the things I will take away from being at Eastleigh Baptist Church is sitting on this stage in the stable during the labyrinth. Dressed up as a shepherd. It was one of my precious moments when people were coming in, and they would come in, and I'd pretend that I was a shepherd, and I'd say, come in. And I would say to the children, I'd say to them, did you meet the shepherd next door? And they'd say, yes. And I'd say, did the shepherd tell you about the angel? And they'd say, no. And I went, oh, okay, let me tell you about the angel. What they did tell me is the shepherd told them that they had 23 sheep. I mean, that seemed to be the most important thing, message that they got from the shepherd in that scene that was about here. So I'd say to them, we met an angel. And the angel told us to go down to Bethlehem, because when we go down to Bethlehem, we will discover a newborn baby who is wrapped in swaddling clothes. I love that word, swaddling clothes, and lying in a manger. And so we rushed down to Bethlehem, and we saw the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, just as the angels had told us. And then I say to them, do you know what a manger is? And they go, no. So I tell them all about the manger, the cattle feeding trough where the cattle would feed from and so forth. And then they go, and all that kind of stuff. And then I say, but before you go, once the shepherds had come and they worshipped Jesus, they left with praise in their hearts, singing songs of glory to God. I always think the neighbours of that stable probably moaned that morning. What are those shepherds singing for? For goodness sake, someone shut them up. But they were singing for joy and telling everyone about this wonderful thing. And that's partly why we know. This is what I told the children. That's partly why we know what happened. Because the shepherds told the story. And so part of the onward journey for us that have met Jesus is to keep the shepherd's song singing, to keep the shepherd's message going, that they might know, everyone might know, that God has come for them, that a child was born and laid in a manger. And it's true of the wise men as well. Although we don't know the fullness of their story, oh, I wish I did, don't you? But of course, they didn't stay at the home in Bethlehem where they met Jesus. They didn't stay there. God led them on. A different route home. I don't know what that route was. It's not told. And we don't know the story of the wise men, although many have subjected or come up with all kinds of different ideas. But I got this sneaky suspicion that men that saw a star, that decided it meant something so great that they would follow it to its destination and see Jesus, the child of God, and then go home, would not just put their feet up and say, great, wasn't that fun? Do you think they would do that? They wouldn't do that, no. I'm sure from that day onwards, they probably did exactly what the shepherds did, and they told everyone about it. Each and every one of us is unique. Each and every one of us needs to make a choice to come. And each and every one of us has a journey to continue, never to stop, but to continue until actually the day we see Jesus face to face, not the child, but the risen Lord Jesus. Amen.